Welcome to the CCF Podcast. We're a campus ministry at Truman State University. This podcast features sermons from our weekly worship services. Thanks for listening.
Okay, good morning, friends. Wow, love a good response. Hi, my name is Hannah Scott, if we have not met. I am glad you are here this morning. Let's start with a few photos. I do have some to share. So here I am with my mom, Gina, on the left, and then on the right, there's a photo of me with my dad, JB, and my not-so-little younger brother, Hunter. And then I also have to share the newest and smallest member of my family, meet Juniper. She is an 11-week-old mini Aussie mix, and in the throes of her clumsy Velociraptor stage, she's already the source of so much joy and laughter. She knows how to sit. And if my camera roll is any indication, I am obsessed with her. So yes, I am an alum. I graduated from Truman in 2022 in the MAE program to teach Spanish. I am not teaching now, however, and I am working full-time in development for Glorieta Adventure Camps. More on that later, though. I do work remotely 7 to 8 months out of the year, and while I'm not in the mountains of New Mexico, I still get to call Kirksville home. This is why you might see me around CCF sometimes, but also not super consistently. I am really excited to be able to be with you all here today and have the opportunity to testify to how God has been working in my life in this season. Okay, before we dive in, would you bow your heads and pray with me? God, I pray that the words that I'm about to share this morning would be a reflection of you and you alone. May they bring glory to your name. Amen. So this is Rooted as an Acacia, or Reflection on Reorientation in Time, or Waiting on the Tulips to Bloom. Let's start with some context. When I was asked last December to speak to you all today with a testimony, I felt led to say yes, with one glaring hesitation. I had just spoken in March earlier that year on CCF spring break, and had given what more or less was a testimony of my college years. I wondered, what more did I have to share with the CCF body? While I know that the story of my life has continued over the last year, not that much felt different, and on the surface, a lot of my circumstances seemed pretty similar to before. But I knew that there was surely a lot of life to live between December and April, and hoped that by the time I needed to write to share with you all, a new profound revelation or a lesson that I had learned would become clear. However, for much of the spring, I have found myself empty-handed while considering what to share with you all that was more than just a few minutes long. I knew that I was experiencing God's presence and truths in my life, but it didn't look like what I'd experienced before. What if my expectations for how God would work and was working in my life were actually limiting my ability to be able to notice any growth? On spring break in 2023 at Glorieta, I shared about the last few years of college that were characterized by seeking and searching for the presence of God in my life. After studying abroad my junior year, I had found myself in what I described as sort of a spiritual slumber, apathetic and asleep to life happening around me. Through studying Moses in the burning bush, I started to actively notice the everyday miracles around me by looking deeper into moments that otherwise felt ordinary. I shared how, through stargazing, God used the practices of reflection and remembrance to help me to more clearly acknowledge his presence in my life. Through learning to meditate on and name the specific ways that God has shown himself to be near, even in seasons when he felt absent, it began to shift my normally anxious demeanor to a posture of trust in God's provision for the future. My story and my relationship with God during this time were characterized by lots of learning and newness and paying attention in ways that I had not previously. This was all good, but I had come to realize that closeness with God is not contingent upon always being in seasons of deep seeking and learning something characteristically new. There's also much growth to be had in coming to dwell with God day after day, and to letting his promises that you've previously learned take deeper root in your life. My journey of reflecting to be able to share with you all today required letting go of these expectations. So I want to invite you to unravel with me some of the recent thoughts and questions and wonderings that I've had. I want to share Jeremiah 17, 5 through 8. Maybe. Okay. This is what the Lord says. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who draws strength from mere flesh, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. That person will be like a bush in the wastelands. They will not see prosperity when it comes. They will dwell in the parched places of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives. But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. The tree being referred to here in the second half of this passage in Jeremiah is known as an acacia tree. Here's a picture of one, and it is probably the most iconic kind of tree in the desert. As an evergreen, an acacia tree consistently provides a much-needed umbrella of shade under which to retreat from the scorching desert sun. Despite its humble appearance, it is also surprisingly resourceful. Its leaves and fruit provide food to camels and desert wildlife. Its wood is incredibly hardy and slow-burning to last long into the night, providing warmth while burned. The acacia tree is also unique because it's found only along dry riverbeds that are subject to flash flooding in the desert. The roots of the tree extend deep into the earth, further than most desert plants, in order to find the smallest bits of water to survive. It's a relatively slow-growing tree and takes around 20 to 30 years to fully mature. It will often look dormant for years until the rains finally come and desert streams reappear, which might only happen in the same area once every 10 years. After almost a decade of slowly extending its roots further and further into the soil, the tree springs back to life and begins to bear fruit in tiny white flowers again. During my last semester in the MAE program and while student teaching, I remember learning about the acacia tree during one of Reed and Leanne's small groups. I was especially drawn to the steadfast nature of this tree, and I remember distinctly praying, God, let your truth sink deeply into me, so deep that my trust and confidence in you might be as firmly planted as the roots of the acacia tree. I spent a lot of time in those final months as a Truman student continuing this prayer, but after the semester ended, I all but forgot of the acacia tree. It was only this past week that I remembered this prayer from so long ago. When I considered the acacia tree, I wondered, does it ever think that it's not growing simply because much of that growth is slow and happening under the surface of the soil? How might I need to think about time and growth differently in order to pursue God with the patience and steadfastness of an acacia tree in the desert? Over this last year, I have found myself returning again and again to consider the nature of time and how I am oriented within it. I can remember that even as a young child, I've always felt a deep sentimentality towards time. I like to know that seasons are coming to an end and that change is nearing. It allows me to mentally prepare for their closing, to notice all the loss, and to say the goodbyes. I often find myself keeping a countdown of days until the significant date, not to mark off the passing until the glorious end, but to savor each passing day as it remains until the unwanted closing. Constantly being aware of time in this way, though, facilitated a sort of scarcity mindset for me. Time was always marching forward too quickly and out of my control. It was my job to try to squeeze every last ounce of experience out of it. Perhaps some of this was founded in fear that maybe God would not have the same kind of goodness in store in the next season. As a student for the majority of my life, I also conceived of time largely as oriented around academic calendars. I suppose this was logical. As students, we progress sequentially through grades of elementary, middle, and high school. There are years in college that we distinguish as freshman, sophomore, junior, senior, grad student. We measure our time in quarters and semesters and the start and end dates of extracurricular activities that are relatively predetermined. We're told when our holiday and summer breaks will be and around which we can be oriented. As I continued studying in grad school, I remember watching some of my friends get their first jobs out of undergrad and hearing their thoughts that came along with leaving college and entering the workforce. It's so strange, they told me. August no longer means the same thing at the start of a semester, and there's no automatic Thanksgiving break or spring break given to me. Or you just sign a contract for an indefinite amount of time and do this job every single day, unless you use your vacation time to not come to work. I also distinctly remember feeling a sigh of relief as I remembered that I was pursuing a career in education and would still have a life where semesters and breaks would be significant units from which to measure my time. I need not worry. In December of 2022, I finished my student teaching and graduated. My lease didn't end until the summer, however, so I planned to work a temporary job in Kirksville to finish out the spring semester, by which time I would find a teaching job that would begin in August at the start of a fresh academic year. Just a few weeks after graduation, though, I was approached by one of my former supervisors at Glorietta about working part-time, remotely, in the development department. I remember thinking, what do I know about fundraising or grant writing or donor management? The answer was nothing. But I had worked as summer staff at Glorietta for 5 years at that point. I cared deeply about the ministry, and the idea of working remotely was quite appealing, especially with people whom I already considered friends. So I said yes for this in-between time while I was waiting for jobs to be posted for Spanish teachers in the fall. That spring was the start of discovering myself outside of the identity of a formal student. It was refreshing to take a step back from what for so long truly did feel like drowning in a sea of academic deadlines and death chimes. I discovered a newfound slowness to my evenings and weekends as I was able to clock out of work for the day and not worry about lesson planning or grading like I did while student teaching. I was able to start reading for fun, not for class. I began to immerse myself in learning by my own choosing. I started making artisan bread regularly, and slow walks became a norm again, rather than just the exception. In a strange paradox, it seemed that when I no longer was hurrying from thing to thing in my packed full planner, trying to contort every bit of time to its full potential, somehow I was more present and time felt like enough. I also found that I actually deeply loved the work that I was doing at Glorietta. It felt purposeful. It turned out that my liberal arts education, go Truman, and undergrad communication degree were actually quite versatile and had a lot of transferable job skills. I enjoyed being able to connect with alumni, past staff, and campers with the present ministry at Glorietta and give them opportunities to engage in prayer, volunteering, giving financially, or being able to attend camp on a scholarship. While I had graduated from Truman, I still oriented myself within what felt like a defined timeline where I would be starting that coming academic calendar year. In March, I went with CCF on spring break to Glorietta, and that week my boss told me that this part-time role actually had the potential to become full-time while still working remotely. Was I interested? Working full-time at Glorietta was definitely not the plan that I had imagined, but also it felt deeply good. I value getting to work in camping ministry while still being close to my family in Missouri and leaning into a more restful pace of life here in Kirksville. I awaited the formal job offer, and when it came, I decided to accept it, even though it didn't make the most sense to outsiders as my first full-time job. In this new role, I would still work remotely here for the majority of the year and then travel to camp in the summers to serve our international staff from Mexico and help during the busy season. In the middle of summer and a few months into this full-time job, I began to realize that come August, I was no longer going to be doing anything related to school, whether student or teacher. This felt incredibly strange and disorienting to me. How long was I going to be working for Glorietta? Where were the defined start and end dates of this current season? What did it mean to just be 25-year-old Hannah learning how to dwell with God in the present days, rather than looking for the next beginning or ending of time? As much as my previous structures of time were stripped away, I began to find that I was seeking new ways to notice the passing of seasons. I want to tell you about three practices that, for me, became rhythms of prayer to deepen my trust in God's character and provision in my life. I love long summer evenings, especially in the mountains at camp. they are also the most incredible sunsets to behold. It feels truly life-giving after spending so much time in the overcast winters of Kirksville. The summer solstice in June, however, quickly became a reminder to me of the ever-dwindling daylight for the rest of the year. This time, instead of focusing on the uncontrollable, steady march of time, I decided to really notice its passing by watching each sunset in July. I set an alarm on my phone just to make sure that I would not forget, and began practicing this steady rhythm. I watched the sunset every day that month. Here are some of the photos that I captured from most of the days. I came to love that no matter how hard I tried to predict, based on the clouds and the weather forecast, what evenings would be the most promising, it always was the most unexpected sunlight that evolved into brilliant kaleidoscoping colors. Sometimes I sat outside for hours. Other days, it was just taking a few minutes to step away from whatever obligation I had to attend to in order to pause and reflect on the day. In these moments, my repeated prayer became, God, thank you for this one-time display of inexplicable beauty that demonstrates your artistry on the canvas of the sky. Remind me that the passing of time is beautiful and not to be feared. Being fully present and watching each day come to a close became a steady rhythm that reminded me of the beauty in this passing of time. Second, I have found a rhythm in being present through intentional walks and listening to the bird song. Normally, when I go on walks alone, I'm inclined to put on my headphones and listen to music or an audiobook or call a friend, all of which are good things. In the fall, though, I decided I wanted to remove some of this noise from my morning walks to get coffee. In this time set aside for margin and reflection at the start of my days, I found myself captivated by the symphony of birds singing each morning, even in the little residential neighborhood of Kirksville where I lived. A song that previously I had not even paid attention to started to soon carry many distinct voices. The assertive squawks of the common grackles, the consistent and soft bass note of the morning doves, the trilling whistle of the cardinals, the robins, blue jays, and finches all joining together to create one unified melody. The birdsong on these walks became a constant reminder in time to me that God is the sustainer of all life on this earth. He can draw praise from even the frailest of creatures. My prayer became that God may draw the same praise from me in all seasons, no matter how frail my voice may feel. Finally, I am drawn to the creator of the universe through the planting of flowers. Late last fall, I started becoming interested in gardening. And while talking to my mom, I was lamenting about how that just was not feasible in this season of life. I did not have the space for a garden, and not to mention, it's hard to start planting in November in Kirksville. Plant tulips in front of your house, she told me. All you need are the bulbs, and they will be some of the first flowers to bloom in the spring. At this point, I actually was on a month-to-month lease in Kirksville, and was not even certain that I would still be living at my current house in 5 whole months' time. Would I even be there to enjoy the fruits of this small labor? I decided that perhaps it had less to do with knowing for sure that I would be the one to enjoy the flowers. Maybe instead there was value in showing and slowing down to create with my hands and cultivating a small sense of creation in my front flower beds. After a trip to Home Depot, I came home with several clearance bags of tulip bulbs and cleared away soil to bury each one in the ground. All winter long, I thought of the tulips that I had planted as I came and went from my house and wondered if they were actually going to grow. I thought I had planted them deep enough, but only time would tell if they would weather the cold. As we left for spring break this year, the first hints of green leaves were poking through the ground. I was not in Kirksville for the 3 weeks after this, though, but as the once dormant tulip bulbs sprang forth from the ground and burst into beautiful shades of fiery red and yellow and orange, I started receiving photos from my friends who were still here as small updates. They were indeed coming up. It felt like both a gentle reminder and a prayer that I may believe this truth even more deeply and be able to orient myself around it. The tulips felt like a small, tangible testimony here in Kirksville of my acacia tree prayer from so long before. Even when I cannot see the growth at first happening clearly on the surface, I can be patient and trust in the Lord. That when I'm dwelling in his presence, day by day, roots are being sent down deeper into the soil. I can grow to have fuller confidence in God to weather each of those changing seasons as they come and go, and come again. Would you pray with me? Lord of creation, may you continue to create in us new rhythms of life, of hours that sustain rather than stress, of days that deliver rather than destroy, of time that renews rather than reduces. May you cultivate in each of us a renewed song of praise as we seek to see your beauty in the passing of time. Teach us day by day through rhythms of being present to your creation around us to place our full confidence in you and you alone. May we be like the acacia tree planted by the water and in steadfastness continue to send out roots ever closer to your truth. Amen.